News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Yesterday, I suppose, a little bit of good news, a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, Ciara. Not just the falling numbers over the last couple of days, but news, maybe surprising news to many people, emerging that we have the second highest rate of vaccinations of the COVID vaccine in the EU, which is good news. But you want to strike a note of caution this morning.
I do, for two reasons. One is the EU's rate of vaccination is poor compared to countries outside the EU, like Israel, like the UK, and that's a concern. So being the second highest in the EU is not quite the accolade you might consider it to be. But also the case numbers, Shane, the COVID case numbers, we are taking some solace. And I know I want us to be able to take solace. God knows we need to be able to have a bit of hope. But we're not comparing like with like. Yes, they are falling, and that's great. And they're falling from the high of around 8,000, and now we are 3,000 to 4,000. And that sounds good. But it's apples and oranges, because how we tested at the end of December and how we tested at the start of January is different to how we are testing today. We don't test the asymptomatic contacts at the moment. And if we were testing now in the same way we were testing then, the case numbers would be much, much higher. And that is my concern, because my concern is if the case numbers are actually more or less the same, because the move in testing is what is accounting for this drop, then lockdown isn't really working. Now, what happens then if lockdown's not working is you have to say, is it just time? It needs more time. Or do you need to rip it up and start again? And God knows I am not a fan of lockdown, and you know that. But if we're in one, we want it to be effective. And if you look at lockdowns in Europe, what they're doing, things like masks outdoors, things like curfews. I know in France they've actually lowered their curfew from 8 p.m. in the evening to 6 p.m. You've actually now got to get in even earlier in the evening and off the streets. They've also got things like 1 kilometre restrictions in terms of where people are going. It's not that I'm advocating for that, but I'm saying we need this to work. And I'm starting to wonder, do the zero COVID years have some point in the terms of, if we're in it, we need it to be effective?
Well, we've always been really squeamish. And I've never understood that since the start of the outbreak of COVID. We have been really squeamish in this country about enforcing the law. And look, I love the fact that we have a police force here that use discretion and aren't heavy-handed in the way maybe we've seen in the UK in the last couple of days, with two young women getting fined for walking in a park with cups of coffee in their hand on the basis that they're having a picnic. That is over the top. But I do think we do need some more enforcement of the law. And I've never understood why we haven't been able to have that.
And we're late to the party on enforcement and on a lot of the things on the COVID situation. But anyway, let us know what you think. The figures aren't quite as good or as rosy as they look. Bear in mind, we've changed our testing regime. Do you think we need to revisit the types of restrictions that we're living under at the moment? 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. And a man who I'd like to ask the same question of is joining me now, Professor Jack Lambert, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the Mater. Jack, you heard what I had to say there, that the testing regime has changed. The drop in numbers may well be accounted for by that change in testing regime. Is lockdown working?
Well, I think, yes, lockdown always works. But how quickly will lockdown work if it's not 100% followed? So we say we're in lockdown, but we're in a totally different lockdown than we were in March. You know, in March, when we were in lockdown, I drove to work. I was the only car on the road. There were roadblocks and there were Garda stopping you. And now I go to work and there's traffic if I don't get off early. There's traffic jams, and I've been stopped one time since the 26th of December by Garda, just checking up where I was going. So you know, and I guess previously I would be stopped 3 or 4 times sometimes in the springtime. So the issue is the virus is still circulating. And if people are still driving around town, going to work, sharing cars, going to the office, even though they're doing social distancing, the virus is still spreading.
Strict enough at the moment, and I mentioned some of the restrictions that they are living under in the rest of Europe, and they're draconian. There's no two ways about it. They're very like what the Chinese impose, and I know you're not either. Neither of us are particular fans of lockdown, but if we're in lockdown, you want it to be an effective lockdown.
Absolutely, and I'm against lockdown as well. But I'm saying, but the issue is, if you want to stop the virus circulating, then you have to decrease, you know, the movement of people. And that's an individual responsibility. and then it needs to be supervised, you know, by authorities. So you can call that enforcement, or you can call, you know, there's individual responsibility and there's institutional responsibility. And I think we just, we say we're doing it, but we don't do it.
Okay, so not enough enforcement of all of that. Let me move on. I know you have been quite critical of the pace of vaccinations in our front line, but throughout the country in general. How do you feel now when you hear sort of statistics or accolades like, well, we're the second fastest in Europe?
Well, the thing is that, like you said, it's sort of like, you know, who are you comparing yourself to? You know, if you look at other countries have done better. The vaccine arrived on the 26th of December. Okay, if we vaccinated 70,000 in a population of 5 million, and we have to receive two doses, if you start calculating it, how long it's going to take, a huge period of time for us to get 80% of people vaccinated. And it would be, it's really important, like I said, that the light at the end of the tunnel is the vaccine. We're all eager to have information from the government and what they're doing. So it'd be important to know, of that 70,000 that's been vaccinated, how many of them are healthcare workers? How many of them are nursing home people? We need a really detailed communication. We need transparency. We need communication. And that hasn't happened so far. And I think everybody would be supportive of the government's effort if we knew what was going to happen. What are the detailed plans? It's a massive effort to roll out this vaccine when you think about it. And looking back in March, there was an awful lot of mistakes made with testing. We were going to test 30,000. We didn't have the reagents. The reagents went to Germany. People have a lot of skepticism about promises and then follow through. And we want to make sure that we get the vaccine right. And it's not clear that all those steps have been put in place for our vaccine rollout. And if they have, it should be communicated, because I don't know about it. The GPs don't know about it. The community doesn't know about it. There's a huge message, communication message, that needs to come out from those who are in charge of the COVID vaccine in our government.
I will be speaking to Paul Reid after 8 o'clock this morning, and I'm putting all of that to him around the communication of the vaccine plan. Lastly, can I ask you, Jack, because you are on the front line, you're in the Mater Hospital, one of the busiest hospitals in the country. What is the situation on the ground in terms of the stress and the strain that people are under, the ICU? I suppose that we saw quite a lot on Claire Byrne during the week on the television show on Monday night of what was going on in the Mater. But how bad, as someone who's working at that coalface, do you think it is?
Well, I think it's a lot, believe it or not, it's a lot better than it was in the springtime, because in the springtime, it was just a few hospitals in Dublin that were taking most of the COVID, you know, hit from the first wave. Here, it's, you know, this wave, it's every county, every hospital throughout the country. So I know the numbers are doubled, or, you know, over the first wave, and the ICUs are pressured, but every ICU is pressured. So everybody's been challenged. But I think we're doing better than the first wave, and we've learned from our mistakes, and we have a lot of things are better than they were before. But it's a huge challenge, but the challenge is the numbers are only going to drop in admissions and in ICU admissions if the community numbers going down. So it gets back to the discussion we had before.
Okay. So you feel that even though the first wave numbers were slightly lower than where we are at the moment, that we're actually coping better this time around?
Yeah, I think we're better prepared. Yes, and the PPE testing in the hospitals, you know, our protocols, you know, rapidly getting people through, testing results coming back quicker. You know, I think people are more adherent to PPE, and more careful. So I think at every level, we're doing better, but it's a huge challenge. Huge challenge.
And the best of luck with it. And thank you, in fact, in fairness, for all you do for us on the front line. That is Professor Jack Lambert there, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the Mater Hospital.